just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. When troubles call and your back's to the wall, there's a lot to be learned. That wall could fall.
Once there was a silly old ram, thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes.
He had high hopes.
Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Gathering Offering. My name is Jerry Kirk, and I offer blessings to those with eyes and ears. Today is the 111th Jubilee, the third week, the fifth year, the fifth month, and the 26th day of the Lord. And this is also the Appendix 4 of Appendix 8. In pagan time, this is known as July 29th, 2010. I have a responsibility, as always, when I begin the gathering offering, and so I shall begin. Our Father who art in heaven, I praise and I bless you, as I praise and I bless your only begotten Son, the Christ, the Master and my Master, and the Master of those with eyes and ears. Father, I want to thank you so very much for the time that you've given me to allow me to read, study, and contemplate. I want to thank you, Father, for those individuals that have assisted me. And there have been many individuals that have assisted me with questions, with comments, with pointing out errors. Father, I have a complaint, though. We need more assistance. And it may be kind of wrong to say that I got a complaint. The days are here now that we need more assistance. We need you to step it up a little bit. Now, I know that everything's according to your time frame, and goodness gracious, I'm glad I'm not in charge of the time frame. But we need help. And Father, start sending it. We need it. There are not enough people taking positive action steps, Father. Now, I praise you and I bless you, and I expect you. We'll always keep your word. The problem is that I sometimes become impatient, and so are others becoming impatient. Father, we need to see more of your wonders here in the latter days. Again, I praise and I bless you, Father, as I bless your only begotten Son, the Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a problem that I run into many times every day of my life. I want to see more. I want to learn more. I want to see more signs. I want to experience more. I want it to become totally evident by everybody that has eyes and ears, and even to the Canaanites, to see these signs that the Lord has promised us. And I'm always impatient. It was many, many years ago that one of my oldest sons said to me, Dad, you're about the only man that I know in the world that seems like he's rushing to die. You're in a hurry to die, Dad. And you know what? I said, Son, that's exactly right. I'm always in a hurry. I always want to get things done. And yes, I do want to die. And I didn't know at that particular time when I told my son that, that I would pick up a couple years later the Word of God and see where the Christ said, he who thinks to gain his life shall lose his life. He who loses his life for my sake shall gain his life. Well, right here on this planet, what do you got? You have nothing but injustice. You have nothing but corruption. You've got whack jobs out there saying, we're going to restore America to where it used to be, its great glory. Well, when was that? At what time was America not killing someone? When was America not murdering someone? When were they not taking your sons and nowadays your daughters and offering by fire to Moloch to go out and kill somebody else for economic wars? I have a problem with this world. And I don't like this world. This world, in Christianity terms, they tell you that, oh, well, you're on earth, and then after you die, then you go to purgatory for a while, and then if you pray your way out and all your relatives pray your way out, and of course, if you give a bunch of money to the church will pray you out of purgatory too, then you'll get to heaven. Anybody remember that business? Well, I am convinced that down here on this planet Earth, this is purgatory, and I'm ready to get out of here. And I don't want to do it again. I'll read a verse from you, from the Word of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now that's the Christ speaking. From Matthew, chapter 24, verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, how about that? Now, this is the Christ speaking. You hear any of these TV preachers, radio-type preachers, church preachers saying, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you? No, that doesn't make for a whole lot of people want to reach in their pocket and say, hey, preacher, you made us feel real good today. I want to give you an extra 20 this week. Because they don't want to tell you the truth. The Christ had a young man come to him. And this young man, he said to the Christ, I give alms to the poor and I do all these other good works. And the young man said, and what else do I have to do to enter into the kingdom? And the Christ said, get rid of all your businesses and all your wealth and pick up your cross and follow me. Now, the key part is pick up your cross. At that moment, and obviously well before that moment, the Christ knew he was going to pick up a cross. He knew that he was going to be horribly murdered. And he's telling us to pick up a cross. Shouldn't we want to follow our master? Isn't that what we do? Isn't he telling us this is what's going to have to happen? Because we wimped out at one time. We stood on the sidelines. We didn't fight. So we were cast down to the planet to try it again. To see how much we were willing to offer to the Christ and to the Father's laws. That's a hard way to start out on a so-called radio program. Everybody says, wow, this guy's not saying any nice stuff to me today. No, I'm trying to wake you up and tell you the truth, what the Christ says. Now, I want to divert a moment. This past Monday, my record of going up and down the roads for 10.5 years without being stopped by a blue light, that ended Monday. About 9 o'clock in the morning in Marshall, I was headed, had been three or four places, and was headed up to another place. And a blue light got behind me and pulled me over the side of the road. And I turned on my turn signal and pulled off the side of the road. I exited my private conveyance. I got to the end of my Bronco and stood there. And the officer approached. And he said, I want to talk to you about not having a tag on the back of your car. And I said, I am not in a motor vehicle, and you can't talk to me. This is a private conveyance. The officer then said, Jerry, this is not worth getting shot about. At that moment, I repeated to that officer, he who thinks to gain his life shall lose his life. He who loses his life for my sake shall gain his life. I didn't know what to say because I hadn't been stopped in 10 and a half years. It just, if you will, the Christ says when they deliver you up, think not what to say. I didn't rehearse it, but it's part of my life. The officer then proceeded to try and talk to me and said, you know, I studied this stuff for 20 years. And it's not worth dying about, Jerry. Well, I didn't totally recognize this particular officer because he's in a city of Marshall police unit. And I had not seen him as a new police officer in the city of Marshall. So I was thinking to myself, well, this kind of a newbie or something like that. We got to talking, and he said, you don't recognize me right now. And I said, no, I don't. He said, well, I'm Deputy Sheriff so-and-so. I said, oh. I said, yeah, you've been around here for a while. I said, how are you doing? He said, fine. He said, Jerry, I'm trying to tell you that you having this, not having a tag, is not worth getting shot about. And I told him, I said, I am ordered by my master to come out of Babylon, and I will do what my master requires me to do. And I don't care who says what. This officer then told me, he said, well, Jerry, you know there's some of these, like, wild-eyed kind of off-the-wall cops out here. And I said, yeah, you got the wild-eyed crazies, and you got average cops, and you got good cops. And I said, I'm not going to let any of them intimidate me when my master tells me to come out of Babylon. Now, let me stop right here for a second, folks. At no time did I have the least inkling by this officer's voice, his demeanor, his eyeball movement, his body language, that he was trying to threaten or intimidate me. At no time did I ever get that feeling, that thought, anything from him. This officer was stopping me to warn me of what I suspect is some shop talk going around. Now, the shop talk isn't just in the, having a beer. Ladies and gentlemen, law enforcement has a radio band that they talk on. And then they got a secret one that they talk on. If you carefully watch the YouTube thing, which I had somebody carefully do this past week, actually last week, not this week, and the first video that they put out, there is no audio. And that particular individual, who is rather experienced at doing this stuff, said, well, that's because they had the secret police band stuff of all the garbage they were putting out on Jerry Kane. And yes, they have their shop talk radio frequency where they say all their good stuff about whoever they want to. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate that officer stopping me I haven't told him. He says, well, I'm not going to give you a citation. I said, well, in that case, why don't you turn your blue light off and turn your flashing on? He said, no, I can't do that. He said, you know, I said, yes, you can. Well, he still wouldn't turn his blue light off. And after a few minutes of talking, he says, I need to radio in. They're going to think something happened to me. I said, I wouldn't worry about it too much. This is Marshall. There's nothing like that happened. And anyway, we stood on the side of the road probably 10, 12 minutes, maybe a little longer than that. I don't know exactly. I didn't look at my watch. I proceeded up about a half after he left. Of course, he didn't give me a citation or nothing like that either now, folks. But I got stopped to be warned. I proceeded up the road about a half mile to the store I was going to, and there were 10 people standing in the store saying, did you get your citation? Did they finally get you? And all but one individual was actually wanting me to get a citation. That's the amazing thing. And their rationale is, if they have to do it, I should have to do it. And when I offer to them and say, you don't have to do what you're doing, their ears are not there. They absolutely don't want to. Now, they'll say to me, we don't want you to be arrested, Jerry, but we want your truck to be arrested. And how are you going to arrest a truck? I don't know. I want to read Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, one more time. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You all remember me putting some pictures out there of the front hood of my van, the back doors that I haven't had the new ones painted yet. My prayer on it says, to die for God's name's sake. You ever wonder where I got namesake, kill you? See, the world hates you if you were of this world. Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of this world. See, the Christ is not of this earthly world. And hopefully I am not of this earthly planet world. And hopefully you are not. And if you hate injustice, if you hate liars, if you hate to constantly see the abuses that have gone on in your lifetime, if you have read history and you have studied the abuses of man's government against little innocent ones, and you hate that, then maybe you're not of this world. Maybe that in John chapter 17, verse 14, maybe you are not of this world. Maybe you were from another location originally. And you were put down here to be in purgatory. That is your only hope. That is my only hope. You need to think about that. You need to think about the fact that this is real serious. This is called forever serious. Enoch, chapter 15. And I'm going to read you a couple verses, starting with verse 2. Wherefore have ye forsaken the lofty and holy heaven, which endures forever, and have lain with women, have defiled yourselves with the daughters of man, have taken to yourselves wives, have acted like the sons of earth, and have begotten giants. Now this is obviously speaking about the fallen angels. You being spiritual, holy, and living a life which is eternal, have polluted yourselves with women, have begotten in carnal blood, have lusted in the blood of men, and have done as those who are flesh and blood do. These, however, die and perish. Now that's all of us. If you're flesh and blood, you die and you perish. Only one individual has never died and never perished, according to if we read the Bible. And that's Enoch. He was somehow translated up. Now, I don't really understand that. Him translated up, somehow that doesn't match everything else. I don't understand it. That's the only incident I can tell you where all the rest of us that are flesh and blood, we die and we perish. How old are you right now that you're listening? How long will it take you to live to be 90 or 100? How many more years? 20, 30, 40, 50, 60? How long is that? It's like a blink of the Lord's eyelash. He says to us, a day is to like 1,000 years to the Lord. We are here for a blink of the eye. We are here to get it right in a blink of an eye. And now we are down to the latter day. And there are still people saying, oh, I've got my job to protect. I've got this big, lofty house. I've got 3 new cars I've got mortgages on. And my spouse and my children, they want to enjoy the good life. How many more moments does each of us have to change our ways? Going back to Enoch. Therefore, verse 5, therefore have I given to them wives that they might cohabit with them, that sons might be born to them, that this might be transacted upon earth. Now, let's move forward into Enoch and hit this between the eyes. Chapter 60 of Enoch, verse 1. In those days I beheld long ropes given to those angels who took to their wings and fled, advancing towards the north. And I inquired of the angel, saying, wherefore have they taken those long ropes and gone forth? And he said, they are gone forth to measure. Verse 3. The angel who proceeded with me said, these are the measures of the righteous. And cords shall the righteous bring, that they may lean upon the name of the Lord of spirits forever and ever. Skipping to verse 5. And these are the measures which shall be given to faith and which are strengthened, the word of righteousness. These measures shall reveal all the secrets in the depth of the earth. Now, can you possibly understand genetic cords, genetic ropes? Can you understand Canaanites? They got messed up genealogy. They were not created as such by the Christ under the orders of the Father. You had some angels come down here. And they had at it with some women. And they had messed up genes. Do you wonder why our society is out there trying to genetically test everybody? Because they don't really care about testing who has the messed up genes. They're after trying to find out who's got the good genes. Those individuals that have no extra genes, because the bad angels threw in some extra genes, caused them giants and other things too. And is a giant just somebody that's standing 9, 10, 12 feet tall or higher? No, what if they've got a giant something on their body? Be it an ear, a nose, or a whatnot. That's giganticism. Some particular part is giant. And they don't want you to know about this. And if you've got it, I'm sorry, but I think you're in trouble. And you're probably not listening anyway. Because Canaanites don't want to listen to the Word of God and to the facts and the figures that smell out the truth eventually. I want you to think about this. The world hateth those that are not from this world. Are they going to afflict? Of course they're going to afflict us. The Word of God, the Christ tells you, they're going to afflict us. So why not wake up and expect it and say, okie dokie, I'm going to do a good job. The Master's told you that's going to happen. What are you going to do? Would you expect me to say, oh my God, they're threatening to shoot me. I'm going to go run and hide because it's so precious here. Well, I state to you unequivocally that an individual that gets up and out front and tells you, take a stand, and then when the heat comes, he goes and hides in a closet, says, no, y'all get out there, it's too hot for me. I firmly expect the Christ and the Father to take those individuals and throw them into the lowest level of hell. Because they were chicken shits. They were cowards. They led other people to the slaughter and then hid. These are called patriots for profit. And I absolutely take a vow before the Father in heaven. I expect you to throw me in the lowest levels of hell. If I back up and I turn my back and my heart and my mind to my Master, the Christ, if I disobey your laws, then you do to the lowest levels of hell to me, Father. And I say that with great enthusiasm, because anybody that backs up after taking a position, he ain't worth whale manure. He's that low on the earth. And that's what we have out here on a regular basis, these patriots for a profit. As soon as a little bit of heat comes up, they go run and hide in the closet. Makes me sick. Should make you sick. You shouldn't talk to them anymore on the phone. Shouldn't listen to them on the radio. Shouldn't buy their books, their DVDs. You should call them up and say, you suck. That's what you should do. You need to stand up, ladies and gentlemen. I'm one individual on the side of a mountain in the middle of nowhere, Arkansas. You are a lot of people. You can do this. And you'll start causing the fear and the smell of fear to exude out of the Canaanites. And then it shall turn. And then it shall turn. We're approaching the bottom of the half hour, and I'm supposed to mention that these archives are up at freedom-school.com. Go to the link to my name, Jerry Kirk. At the end of this, we're going to have a bottom of the half hour break, and after that, I'm going to give out a phone number, and if anybody wants to call in and yell at me or anything, you're welcome to. Thank you so much, and here's the break.
Problem's just a toy balloon. They'll be bursting soon. They're just bound to go pop.
Oops, there goes another problem kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem kerplop.
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation and a heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
I just talked with one of these elite the other day, and he told me the latest of everything the elite have planned for the world for the next 2 years.
Shocking. This DVD, Tragedy, Hope, and Reality, the latest title by Lindsay Williams. Our production team at First Amendment Radio has condensed Lindsay's three DVD set down to a single DVD presentation.
So I'm going to tell you right now, up front, everything that I feel will impact your life in a major way in the next 24 months.
2.5 hours of the most important details of what the elite have planned for America and the world.
Within 2 years, He said, you will not recognize the United States of America.
Will you be ready?
And here is the part that startled me more about anything that he said. He said, war is planned. And he told me where it's going to be.
Will you even believe it?
Gasoline will remain the price it is right now until we have war. You're going to be paying $4 to $10 a gallon overnight.
First, you must see it. Two copies, one for you and one for you to give away when you send a support donation of $20 to First Amendment Radio. Use the chip-in event on our website or send $20 cash to First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. Make copies and give them away. A wise man sees trouble coming and prepares for it. Tragedy, hope, reality.
Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines, 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the big Berkey. Now I save my back and hundreds of dollars, too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide from my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use. And then you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at firstamendmentradio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide, starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so very near, you might even hear a whole gang of cheers just because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a cuckoo day. You just say those words and we'll take our birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's so perfect for a flying honeymoon. Oh, babe, come fly with me. Let's fly, let's fly.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Gathering Offering. This is Jerry Kirk, and as always, I offer blessings to those with eyes and ears. If anybody wants to give a call in and chew the fat with me, the call-in number is 559-781-3883. Another thing that I'm supposed to do is we're going to be having a telephone conference call tonight at 8 p.m. Central Time. And the phone number for that is 712-432-0075. You will need a participant code, 715-718. Get it while it's good. It won't be there very long. Now, I'm going to switch veins for a moment here. I'm in Enoch chapter 41, verse 6. The course of the moon's path to righteousness is light, but to sinners it is darkness. Okay? In the name of the Lord of Spirits, who created a division between light and darkness, and separating the spirits of men, strengthen the spirits of the righteous in the name of his own righteousness. Okay, now, you're probably going to have to go read this yourself to understand this. But what I'm trying to tell you is if you search this out, you'll see that the moon, when it is fully bright, that's when it begins its month. Your Canaanites tell you that when it is a dark moon, or the very next day afterwards, and it's a sliver moon, that's when the moon begins its life. And so these people that are out there pushing these moon calendars, these loonies, they haven't even read and studied this simple verse. The course of the moon's path to righteousness is light, but to sinners it is darkness. The people that are out there using the dark moon for their calendars, who are following the Jewish, Hebrew, Chaldee calendars of Canaanites, they're demonstrating that they're sinners. Now, carrying forward on the moon, in Enoch chapter 73, verse 1 and verse 16, it tells you, it clearly spells it out, and it says moons in the plural, M-O-O-N-S, like there's more than one. Did they teach you this in school, ladies and gentlemen? No, they didn't. In the 1800s in France, they set about trying to determine if there were actually more than one moon surrounding this planet Earth. And you know what? They found another one. It's a lot smaller than the big moon up there, but it's there. Then in the 1900s, the United States government said, we got to get involved in this. So they set up their watch. Now they refused to use any of the coordinates or azimuths or anything that the French did. They didn't even do it at the same time of the year, and they weren't even looking anywhere in the same direction. And you can look this up. And they said, there ain't another moon out there. Well, you know, if it's over here and you're looking over there, you sure aren't going to see it, are you? Now, why would I bring this up? Because I believe in maybe 4 or 5 years, you're going to see the sun darkened. Everybody says, well, that's no big deal. There's eclipses of the sun all the time. Except I believe you're going to see it get dark, and then a little while it's going to lighten up, and then a little while it's going to darken again. Because you're going to have both the moons are going to line up, and it's going to darken it, and then it's going to darken it. And you know what's going to happen when you see that, folks? You're going to go, oh my golly gee! But those have read and studied and have looked for one of the signs of the Lord, they're going to sit there and go, blessings. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Because you're going to have seen what the Lord has told you. And that's in-depth studying. People have said, why don't you go into some heavier stuff? Well, I kind of lose people. This 26-week course was trying to get it down to get ready for some heavy-duty stuff. Like, say, Ezekiel chapter 40. Through, say, the next 6 or 7 chapters. Like to get people ready for that. Maybe in about a year, year and a half, maybe people will study this and get ready for the heavy-duty stuff in Ezekiel. Get ready for the heavy-duty stuff that's getting ready to start happening. So that when it happens, you will not have fear. You will have great anticipation. You will be so joyous in your heart of knowing that your master, the Christ, is coming because you have studied, you have become wise, and you are separating yourself from this world. Now, you're going to have some affliction, and there's going to be a lot of bad things to see, but you'll tough it out because when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And those with eyes and ears, they're tough. Some of them may not know it right now. Some of them are still worried about, you know, family and relatives and friends and jobs and stuff like that. But they're coming on, and they'll keep coming on. Each and every one of them that the Christ requires to come on this time. And you have to rejoice in the fact that the Father has a plan. Now, he certainly did not consult with me in this plan. And I don't think he consulted with you in this plan. He kind of knew what he wanted to do. And he's like the head guy. In the book of Enoch, he's referred to the Ancient of Days. I have offered the term the totally aware one. And it's kind of a good thing that I'm not in charge of the plan. Because you know what? I would have already eliminated all the Canaanites real quick. I'd have gotten rid of them a long time ago. But that's not what this is about. What it's about is each of us reaching inside ourselves and finding the strength to come forward and accept his will to do it his way. Not Jerry Kirk's way. Not Billy Bob's way. Not Annie's way. Or Sue or Billy's. Anybody's way. His way. To do it his way. To be good, obedient servants. To get from the category of, I call myself an attempting servant, to get up to the level of servant, and then be an observant. My terminology of an observant would be like one of those messengers. Maybe like Michael the Archangel. Maybe Raphael. Maybe Phanuel. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that. Maybe Gabriel. Now, they're like some of the top four dudes up there. They are observing the Father's laws. They're getting it done exactly the way he wants it done. I really have not read about anyone on this planet in the Word of God being an observant. Never have. Now, the Christ, of course, was on this plan. He was, you know, more than an observant. He's in charge of the program. But as good as every other individual, like Isaiah and Jeremiah and David and so forth, every one of them did mistakes. Every one of them messed up. And that's what we've been doing. The whole trick is to quit messing up. And get down to true, absolute loyalty. Your failure to do that, to not place the Father's laws as to absolute, foremost and primary, will probably make you a very unhappy camper at some day and some time. And ignorance of the law and sitting there saying, well, I didn't know, or I didn't want to listen that week, not to me, but to the Father's law, that ain't going to cut it. There's no appeal. There's no extra U.S. Supreme Court to go to and say, hey, the lower court erred. There's only one court, and Christ's going to hold it. And I don't think we're going to be allowed to talk. I believe he's going to read out the books of life, what is written down. And I think inside you know that too. Why would the Christ want someone as stupid as Jerry Kirk to open his mouth in his courtroom? Well, what necessity, what could I add or subtract to the charges or the accolades, if there are any? What could I add? Not a dadgum thing. My mind isn't smart enough. And quite frankly, nobody's down here on this planet's got anything in their brain worth communicating as saying, hey, I can talk in your court. Now, we're all a bunch of dumb nitwits. If we weren't dumb nitwits, we wouldn't be down here. You have to lower your ego. You really don't. We really, all of us, don't know very much. We're struggling to figure something out. From a book that is hardly talked about, Malachi chapter 3, verse 18. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Wow, how about that? How about that? Then. It didn't say that right now, today we're doing it, did he? Then. Then we'll discern. Now, I try to figure out in my life, I try to figure up and say, you know, what's good and what's bad? And I work on that. And I got kind of a big mouth. I'm not worried at all about saying what I think I believe and what I understand. That doesn't bother me. But I know that I'm not very smart right now. And I know you're not very smart right now. We're working on it. We're going to do better. But you have to work on it. You can't just be listening to these wigwags out there. And I'm going to switch things here just a little bit. I was listening to the Power Hour the other day. I was listening to the fact that Joyce Riley's talking about a guy named Peter Hendrickson who had written a book called Cracking the Code. Real popular across the so-called alternative media. Interviewed on all kinds of different people's shows. Selling books about how to crack the code of the IRS. And, of course, now we find out. Now, let me stop right here. I think that gentleman was sincere about wanting to stop the IRS taxation. I think that he was doing as good a job as he possibly could do. And I really didn't, in his voice, hear any kind of, you know, he was trying to set people up. Just think he didn't know very much. Sort of like a pine knot. Hard, very hard. But just didn't have much going. There's not a whole lot of juice in a pine knot. Well, he was charged by the IRS for filling out his income tax papers incorrectly. And he was sentenced to 33 months in jail. And he had a lawyer. His lawyer was on the Power Hour talking about, woe is Pete, woe is Pete. Well, guess what? Why were they still saying, if you want to help Pete, buy his book? Why would you want to buy a book from a guy that obviously, you know, didn't know what he was doing? Think about that. Hatred for profit. If he would have known what he was doing, he would have gotten it done. Then he would have talked about what he's doing. And he was charging money for a book. What does the Christ say? Freely you have received, and freely ye shall give. Did he tell you ever go pay some patriot for profit for his DVD? For his book? For his seminar? You need to start listening to people, ladies and gentlemen. If they are not talking about the Father's law and how to be in compliant with the Father's law, guess what? Maybe you ought to listen to somebody else. And if you can't hear anybody talking about the Father's law, maybe you ought to just go ahead and read it yourself. Don't be polluted by a patriot for profit. These whack jobs that, actually, be honest with you, I kind of got twisted up in this sovereign game at one time. And I didn't thoroughly, completely research it. And I have profusely tried to apologize to people for that. And I've said I made an error. But I didn't write a book and charge people. And I put out my material, and as I learned something new, I put it out and say, hey, I made a mistake there. And how now, this is working better for me now. How many of the people on the radio shows do y'all hear are talking about the Father's law on a regular basis? And if you're not hearing them talk about the Father's law, why are you listening to them? Do you really think we're going to return to the Lee Brooks Constitution that he says, well, see, the original Constitution was a certain type of corporation, and then the other type of Constitution, they were other types of corporations. They're still corporations. God bless Lee Brooks, because he is so honest, and he says, you got to really study this stuff. You got to really work. And I didn't hear Lee Brooks except one time say, there's an Old Testament law that affects the money, and there's a New Testament law. And I called in on a show, and I asked him, and I said, could you tell me where the Christ said there's a New Testament law? He said, no. Going back to Peter Hendrickson, his attorney named Butler's on there, and he's going to be doing the appeal. And I call him up, and I say, and I get on the radio on the power, and I say, hey, can you tell me what document 6209 is? He says, no, I can't. I said, well, could you put it in terms of the lay people? No, I don't know that. I said, well, have you ever heard of the computer decoding manual? Oh, yeah, I've heard of that, but, you know, I've looked at it a little bit. Well, my question was, how can you crack the code if you don't have the decoding manual for the IRS? Then I asked him, I said, what is Pete's MFR, mail filing requirement? And what is it followed by, a dash and a what? He said, I don't know. Well, if it was followed by an 01, it means not required to mail a file. I'm not even sure we knew what an IMF was, individual master file. And every single individual in this country has got something called an IMF. You can't get rid of it. And throughout, and another individual talked to me. Real quickly, I'm going to jam this in. Oh, I just read in the, you know, Homeland Security, and I also read in under the, you know, health care. They're going to be assigning us a number. I go, yeah, they're assigning us a number. And it's called your Social Security number and your zip code. Both are 9 digits. 9 plus 9 is 18. 6 plus 6 plus 6 is 18. And they're assigning a whole bunch of different 18-digit numbers to everybody. So you won't say, oh, it's a Social Security number and a zip code. Well, you can't get the other 18-digit numbers unless you got those first two 18-digit numbers. I got something, says the resident from Fred, and on it, it has 18 digits made up with a dash. Now, in the other spaces, it has asterisks, but you can count them, 18 of them. And you got 18-digit numbers all over the place in your life. And you say, oh, well, golly, that's a... But to get that 18-digit, you got to have the other digit numbers called Social Security number and zip code. Those are the numbers of the beast. Unfortunately for Pete Hendrickson, he's probably going to do his time and get some time off for good behavior because he filled out the forms. He didn't do something simple like say, I'm not going to have a credit card. I'm not going to have a checking account. I'm not going to borrow money. The borrower is servant to the lender. I am going to pay cash. I am not going to have any privileges, gratuities, or services from Babylon. I am going to make the choice that I will stand up and be a responsible individual. And Lee Brooks tried to criticize me this past Saturday and said, well, then you'd be judge, jury, and executioner. Judge, jury, and executioner. And I said, what's wrong with that? Why shouldn't each one of us be responsible to be instant, in season? I didn't say this part to him, but this is what I should have been able to finish. Why should not each of us be instant, in season, and out of season? Isn't that what Phinehas did? When Phinehas found the Israelite man in a tent copulating with a Canaanite woman, he didn't wait for the sheriff to come arrest him. He didn't get an attorney for him. He didn't wait for a judge. He didn't wait for an executioner. Phinehas picked up a javelin, ran in the tent, and speared them both through the chest. He killed them. And to Phinehas was given the covenant of peace. You want peace in your life, ladies and gentlemen. You're tired of violence. You're tired of injustice. You're tired of cops stopping people on the side of the road and shooting them. You're tired of cops out in L.A., transit authority guys handcuffing a guy, putting him on the ground, shooting him in the back of the head, and then they have a trial, and the guy says, I thought I was pulling my taser gun out to shoot him in the back of the head. What are you tasering a guy that's handcuffed on the ground? You got six other cops there. If you're tired of that, return to the Father's law. And we shall learn to be instant in season and out of season. That's coming. Some people say, why aren't you doing that right now, Jerry? My best answer is to say, ladies and gentlemen, there is a time to sow. There is a time to reap. And we are building. We are building with our knowledge. And as we build with our knowledge, guess what happens, ladies and gentlemen? The Christ then sends his help to us. If we do not return to his law, he will not return and assist us. That is a given. You may find this in the Word of God. You and I must return to his law. As we return to his law, we will be helped. And you aren't always helped in the way that you think that you want it. And that's kind of interesting. I've been going through this for 18 years. And a lot of times I say, I'm going to get out there and do this. And if I do that, I wonder if this will happen. And rarely if what I wondered would happen ever happened. But something else shows up. Maybe a week or month or so, 2-3 months later. I go, how about that? That was pretty neat. I didn't think of that. Apparently he knew more about what I needed than I knew what I needed. I offer praise and blessings to those with eyes and ears. This general discussion is for you, ladies and gentlemen, to ask yourselves, are you doing this? Are you motivated for this? Do you want to return to the cross? Are you willing to pay the price? I am. And if I don't, I expect and I bring bear witness of all of heaven and earth. Right now, I expect to be thrown at the lowest level of hell, to the very bottom of it. I will not return to Babylon. I may not do the best job ever getting out, but I'm not returning. So all you shop talk cops, go screw yourself. This is Jerry Kirk. Thank you.
To simply hold your horses. To rush would be a crime. 'Cause nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it every time. Like the man says one more time. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy.